Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
A couple of years ago, the Lord led me to get involved in what we call shed nights, men's shed nights back in Australia. And we've been using four-wheel drives and Harley Davidsons. I do a lot of off-roading on my poor old Harley and it gets pretty beaten up. But anything to lead men to Christ. And that old bike is being used in a mighty way to bring men into the kingdom. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. And we've chewed up quite a bit of our time with music tonight. I hope that's okay. I'd love to share for 15, 20 minutes. And then we can break up and pray together and share together. You can't go through the book of Acts without getting excited about missions. And I pray that every one of you men who are coming along here on Tuesday nights, that deep in your spirit, the Holy Spirit is stirring you. I always say there's three ways you can get involved. You can pray, you can give, or you can go. And the Apostle Paul is one of those men who you could not tie down. He would have been a terrible local pastor in a church. He would have driven people crazy. Paul was anointed by the Holy Spirit to get out and to go into all of the world, to plant churches. And the book of Acts is this incredible revelation of what was going on in the world at that time. 50 AD. And the church was going gangbusters. It was growing in unbelievable ways throughout the known world of that time. And the older I get, the more I fall in love with this book. When you realize that this book was basically written by refugees and criminals. The Holy Scriptures, most of the authors of the books of the Bible were either refugees, men like Moses, who spent most of his life on the run or seeking asylum until God gave him that promised land that that he and the children of Israel were told about. But I look at the men and the women that God selected to be in this book, men like David, who was an uneducated shepherd boy who became the king of Israel and has poured out his heart and his life in the Psalms. And you realize that this uneducated boy sure had a lot that you and I can grow from in our lives. I go through the New Testament and realize that most of the New Testament was written by men locked up in prison, including the Apostle Paul. And this amazing man had that never say die attitude about life. Paul was a well-educated man. And that makes him even more dangerous because he had grown up learning the law. He had grown up learning the history of God's people. And when he came to know Jesus, everything changed forever. And I look at the book of Acts and it's just this incredible travel journal. And I pray that it challenges you and me to never live a mediocre life. That at some stage every year in your life, you put some time aside to get involved in mission. That you get involved in the Great Commission. And that if you can't personally go yourself, that you get involved in praying for and giving to those who get out there and, like the Apostle Paul, desire to not only preach the good news to the lost, but encourage the churches spread out throughout the nations of the earth. Acts chapter 16 starts off with more of the travel story. Paul and Barnabas had gone their separate ways. God sometimes uses division to bring about greater multiplication. And last week you studied in chapter 15 how those guys came to a point where eventually they just couldn't work together anymore. And God continued to use both of those men in amazing ways. But the Lord also brings along a young man called Timothy. Timothy was set apart for this work. When Paul met Timothy, he knew that he had found gold. This young man had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. His father was not a believer, although his mother was a believer and a Jew. So Timothy became the perfect man for the job. He was both Jew and Gentile. He was uncircumcised. And if you've read through chapter 16 this week, you'll find out that even that did not become an issue. Timothy submitted, not because of the law. I believe Timothy agreed to circumcision as a male adult. He agreed to be circumcised because he didn't want anything to hinder his opportunity to be able to minister to both Jew and Gentile. As an uncircumcised man, he would never be allowed to go into a Jewish synagogue. And so, before they started their missionary journey, one of the things that Paul did was circumcise Timothy. I can't imagine what that would be like. And yet, that's how passionate both these men were for the advancement of the kingdom of God and the good news of Jesus. We're not going to read all of that. I really want to focus tonight on the second part of chapter 16. But Paul, let's read from verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I look at this and think, man, these guys are going to different places and they are so in tune with God's voice in their lives that there are some places where they just knew now is not the time to go there. And the Holy Spirit would clearly speak to them. Even in their sleep, Paul would be having dreams about places that the Lord was calling him to go to. I want to be a man like that. I want to be a man that in tune with God's Spirit. That in my working day, that even when I sleep, that I'm hearing the voice of God's Spirit in my life. I looked up, I thought, man, how much time do we spend just on the internet? How much time do we spend on social media? We sometimes wonder why we don't hear God's voice in our lives. And I've realized that a lot of the times it's because our life is filled with distractions. In this modern day that we're living, we are just bombarded with propaganda 24 hours a day. The average American spends 24 hours a week on the internet. The average Australian spends 1 month per year watching television. We're guilty of allowing ourselves to be so distracted that we miss hearing God's voice in our lives. And I've realized that sometimes we get ourselves into trouble simply because we're not listening to the Lord. We're not listening to what He's calling us and our families to be doing. And in this case, Paul is Paul's even having dreams. Come to Macedonia. Come and preach the good news there. And so the guys get ready to go there. On the way there, they go to a city called Philippi. They meet a lady called Lydia there, and Lydia invites them or persuades them to come and to stay at her place. She's a wealthy lady who's become a believer. She gets baptized by Paul, and then she insists that they come. Paul didn't usually stay with new converts, and yet in this case, the team stayed there. But from verse 16, I want to read tonight. The question I want to ask as we read through this tonight is, when everything falls apart in your life, what are you found doing? As men, we go through different seasons in our lives. When things fall apart for you, what do you find yourself doing? If you wanted to title this subject, you could title it Expect Mistakes and Expect Miracles. I reckon that's the best way you and I can live our lives. Expect mistakes, but expect miracles. Verse 16, once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. Wherever Paul and his little missions team went, they attracted attention. And even walking through the busy streets of Philippi, these guys got up at sunrise and walked through the markets and through the busy streets of Philippi to the local synagogue. And on their way there, as they passed by this young lady every morning, she would cry out the same thing. "These men are from the Most High God. They'll tell you the way to be saved." I reckon two things happen. Firstly, I think Paul took compassion on this young lady. He saw a young girl who was a prisoner twice over. She was a prisoner to a group of corrupt men who were making a lot of money from her. I imagine abusing her. But she was also imprisoned by a demonic spirit that was over her life. And Paul discerned this, the fact that she was saying this day after day, And in a city like Philippi, which was a Roman-controlled city, but it was in modern-day Greece, Macedonia. And the Greeks had all kinds of gods, and it was offensive to say that one god was greater than another god. And here's this girl yelling out at the top of her voice, "These men are from the Most High God." And Paul knew that that was going to get him into a whole bunch of trouble. And he didn't want some demon preaching the good news about Jesus. He wanted to be able to do that himself. But I'm sure compassion took over and a deep conviction to see this young woman set free. He prayed a simple prayer, a prayer that you and I can pray in our own lives when we are confronted with the work of the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ, get out. And immediately that demon fled. We all know what happened. When the owners of the slave girl, verse 19, realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. You wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to church, and you never get there because you pray a simple prayer. There's that old saying, prayer changes things. Well, for Paul and his team, one simple prayer suddenly messed up their plans and messed up their day for good. Before they know it, they're being beaten up by an angry mob. And I've realized that for us as men, there are times when we need to stand up and pray. To publicly pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can be the most courageous thing that you'll ever do. Across the Middle East at the moment, we're seeing Christian minority groups being persecuted and massacred and killed and tortured simply because of this faith that they have in Jesus. We saw 21 Coptic Christian men beheaded the other day. And every day in the news, it sickens me to see what is going on in this world. But Jesus told us that these times would come. I don't know about you, but man, some of the stuff that's happening on planet Earth at the moment, it just rings so true to the end time prophecies. And I look at nations rising up against nations and realize, wow, there's no better time to stand up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and as a man be willing to pray, knowing that there could be consequences. Paul was willing to do that. It got him thrown into prison, but the question that I want to ask you tonight is, when all of your plans suddenly are shattered, when everything falls apart for you, what are you found doing? Verse 25 of Acts chapter 16, I believe, holds the answer for every one of us. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. At about midnight, these guys got up at 6 o'clock in the morning. They got up at sunrise to go to church. And at midnight, what are they doing? They're letting every prisoner and every prison guard in that prison know what they believe. They're singing songs, sharing testimonies at the tops of their voices. Nothing was going to hold these guys back. It's the one thing that I love about the Apostle Paul is, you never ever hear him complaining about being a prisoner of Rome. All of Paul's letters start with, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be that captivated and that passionate about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is such a remarkable thing. At midnight, these guys are praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken. What happens when good men pray? What happens when we believe in miracles? Miracles will happen. When everything falls apart, if you live a life expecting mistakes to happen, then when they happen, you're not shocked. Even with in our marriages, even with our children, when we suddenly get bad news, how do we react? Do we react in a negative way? Or are we already prepared in our hearts for bad news to happen? I believe that when we position ourselves like that, when we are expecting mistakes, it also puts us in a place where we can expect miracles to happen. We've already given it over to the Lord. And that's the realm that the Apostle Paul and his guys lived in. What happens when we pray? What happens when we praise the Lord in the worst of circumstances? Miracles happen. And in this case, it's an earthquake. Suddenly, there's a violent earthquake and the foundations of the prison are shaken. At once, every prison door flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought every prisoner had escaped. I've often thought about this and wondered, why didn't those guys escape? Why didn't every one of those prisoners, why didn't they as soon as those shackles came off them, why didn't they run for it? And the best answer I can come up with is they'd been in church all night. They'd been listening to worship. And I'm sure Paul and his guys weren't the best of singers. But there's nothing like hearing a bunch of men sing. In fact, we're going to finish tonight listening to a bunch of men sing, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." Those guys didn't go anywhere. I believe that the presence of the Holy Spirit was so strong over that prison that even when it turned to rubble, those men weren't going anywhere. They had experienced a miracle. So much so that the head jailer drew his sword. He knew that he was a dead man. You lose a prisoner in the Roman army and your life is over. And this man drew his sword to run it through him. And Paul saw what was going to take place and he said, "Stop, don't do it. We're all here." That prison guard had also been listening to the worship and the testimonies and the preaching all night. So what does he do? He runs up, he falls to his knees and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" Such a beautiful story. What must I do to be saved? I don't know about you. I don't know if even here tonight, you've come to a men's Bible study. Do you know the Lord? Because if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, if you haven't placed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do it here tonight at a men's study. You'll have a whole bunch of men championing you for it. But this tough Roman jailer knew that he needed something in his life. He gives his life to Christ, takes Paul and Silas and the guys home to his house in the early hours of that morning, bathes their wounds. They'd been beaten up, they'd been whipped, and he bathes them and bandages them up. And at sunrise the next morning, so these guys have been up all day and all night, takes them back to the prison. We'll read the last part of the story. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jail with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out." Paul suddenly realized that what had taken place the day before was suddenly going to be used for the glory and the advantage of the advancement of the gospel. What was Paul's greatest dream? I believe that Paul's greatest dream was that the whole world knew about Jesus Christ. And I'm sure if you'd have asked Paul back in his day, "What are your plans?" I'm sure he would have said, "I want to go to Caesar in Rome and I want to lead him to Christ and I want to see multitudes of people come to faith in Jesus." Stuff never works out the way that we plan. But in the same way, God accomplishes His work in us and through us, sometimes despite us and our own failings. Paul eventually did get to Rome, but not the way that he planned. But this little story in Acts chapter 16 was one of those keys. He suddenly realized that as a Roman citizen, he had been mistreated badly, and suddenly realized that he had some authority in this situation. They came to appease them, it says in verse 39, and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. And it simply finishes, "Then they left." Then they left. Don't you love that? Tonight when we leave this place, it'll be a "then they left." But I want to challenge you. Don't leave here without knowing Jesus in your life. And don't leave here without praying a prayer and saying, Lord, use me as a man to be a missionary to my community, to be a missionary in my workplace, to be a missionary like the Apostle Paul wherever I go, no matter what happens, no matter how tough things get, to know that I can expect mistakes and expect miracles, to know in my heart of hearts that when everything falls apart, I'm going to be praising you and worshiping you. I'm going to invite the guys up and we're going to sing a song together. Before that, why don't we all bow our heads and pray? Hey, if you're here tonight and you know that you're not walking right with the Lord, and you hear and you've heard a message, I want to invite you to respond simply by raising your hand where you're sitting. If you know tonight that you need to get right with the Lord, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. If you've come here tonight and the life that you're living, the attitudes that you've got, the way that you respond to difficult situations, if that's robbing you of your walk with the Lord, just raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you tonight. God bless you, mate. Never a better time to get things right with the Lord. You and I have been called as men to stand up in this time, in this generation, in this nation, to be men of prayer, to be men willing to be counted. Anyone else here tonight? Just raise your hand where you're sitting. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we say these words together? Lord God, I come to you. Thank you that you love me just as I am. Lord, I want to live for you every day of my life. Forgive me of my past sin. Make me new that I may be the man you've created me to be. Thank you, Jesus, that you are my Lord and my Savior. I pray this in your name. Amen.